Our first reading is taken from Genesis chapter 24, reading verses 1 to 4, followed by verses 10 to 28, and then 50 to 67. It can be found on page 23, 24, and 25 of your pew Bibles. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years. The Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my own country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking all kinds of things from his master. He set out from Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, O God, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show my kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar, that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with a jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful and a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar and came back up. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied the jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw more water, and she drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring and weighing a beak and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, whose daughter are you? Please tell me. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? And she answered, I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, born to Nahor. And then she added, we have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as a room for you to spend the night. Then the Lord bowed down and worshipped. Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. And the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. We're now moving to verse 50. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or another. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed." When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master." But her brother and mother replied, "Let the girl remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go." But he said to them, "Do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success on my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master." Then they said, "Let's call the girl back and ask her about it." So they called Rebekah and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, you may increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offerings possess the gates of their enemies." Then Rebekah and her maids got ready and mounted their camels and went back to the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Abraham had come from Beer Lahai Roe, and he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and he looked up and saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. When the servant told Isaac all he had done, Isaac brought her to the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, reading verses 16 and 17. And it can be found on page 1066. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. And that's quite a long reading, wasn't it? And there's bits of it that we missed out. So we're going to kind of recap some of the reading and look at some of the characters. But it's the last reading in our series looking at Genesis. And we're thinking this morning about the question, why will God be interested in me? Why will God be interested in me? And it's a good question, and it's one that we might think that, well, the population of the world at the moment, we've just passed 8 billion, and I'm just one person. Why would God be interested in me, part of the 8 billion population of the world? Or maybe we find life tough, we've got ill health, the rising cost of living. Why would God be bothered about us with all these difficulties? Or we've moved to the UK for a new life, and perhaps things haven't worked out quite as we thought. And life is just tiring and difficult, one thing after another. Why would God be interested in all this? And it's a question that the people in our reading might have asked too. And so we've got Abraham. He's old. His wife Sarah has died. God has made all these promises to him to give him land, to give him a big family, loads of descendants, and are going to bless all the populations of the earth. What was all this promise about? He'd only got one son, and there's no sign of him getting married, and he was 40. What's going on? He didn't own any land. He had to buy a piece of land to bury his wife in. What's going on? What were all these promises that God was making to him? Well, for Abraham, it's not spelled out how these promises would work out in detail. But for Abraham, we can see in the story of Genesis that the story of Abraham comes after a period in Genesis where we described the chaotic and hopelessness of the world. We see there was murder, there was adultery, there was pride. The people of the earth had tried to build a tower to heaven to say, we're important, no to God's rule, we're in charge. And God was saying to Abraham, we need to change that. I want to give you a land of promise where I can show kindness, and it's going to be done through your family. Abraham got one son, well, he got two sons, but one was estranged, and Isaac, God has said to him, your descendants are going to be through Isaac, and there's no sign of him having any children or even having a wife. And he would so love to have some grandchildren. What was God's promise to Abraham all about? He was old. Is all this stuff going to fizzle out? Was God really bothered about an old man? What about young Rebecca? She was in a family where her big brother seemed to be choosing everything and controlling everything. No sign of her dad on the scene. And all she seemed to be used for was going and fetching water. Was God really interested in her life, shuffling between the local well and the family home? Perhaps Rebecca thought, is God really bothered about me? And what about Isaac? His dad had kept banging on about all this stuff that God was going to do for him, but he couldn't see anything happening. All he got out of was a scary trip up a mountain where he's going to get sacrificed. Was that all he was worth? Was his life just dispensable? And life for him was tough in the Negev Desert, where he was trying to make a living, where all the other people around him, they got other good land. Perhaps he thought, is God really bothered about me? In this passage, we see how people responded to God's call. So we're going to look a bit more closely at what's going on at a reading. So as we've seen, Abraham's got a promise, got a problem. He'd been promised descendants and nothing's happening. So he gets his boss servant and he says to him, look, I need you to go and find a wife for my son. He's 40 years old. He's not shown any signs. He needs a bit of help. Perhaps sometimes you felt that with your family. They need a bit of help. So he comes up with a plan and he asks his boss servant to travel back to his family homeland to find a wife for his son. And this was no ordinary task to be treated lightly. So they used some ancient customs whereby the servant holds on to Abraham's thigh. I know it sounds a bit weird, but that's the way they did it. And he promises to complete the task. We're not told the servant's name. Now we've got to love our Andys about, so we'll call him Andy. So Andy sets off up the camel motorway with 10 of the camels to a place where Abraham had come from. And it's that area that we see, Aram Hararim. It's where Shank comes from in Syria. So I hope I pronounced that well. And it's a 700-mile trip. Wow. And he's got these 10 camels. And he calls in at a place called Nahor, where there's like a service station for the camels. He's got 10 camels. And don't they look lovely? Beautiful creatures. And they need water. I mean, he's a bit thirsty himself. So Andy has this cunning plan. What he thinks is, we'll go to the service station and I'll see who's around and I'll ask one of the people who are there if they can give me a drink. And if they say, yeah, I'll give you a drink, but tell you what, I'll look after your camels as well. And he thinks, yeah, that's a good way and a good bit of way of introducing myself to somebody. And sure enough, he prays to God that that would happen. And sure enough, just as he's finishing his prayer, he sees Rebecca and he is wowed by her, this beautiful girl standing there. And he says, look, can you give me a drink? And she says to him, don't just have a drink, I'm going to feed your camels as well. And I'm not just going to feed them, I'm going to not going to give them a drink, but I'm going to give them loads of water till they've finished. Now, a camel, I don't really know much about camels, but camels drink 20 gallons of water.
Okay.
So if you think this is a two-gallon bucket, if you do the maths, and I hope I've done it right, that's 100 buckets, backwards and forwards, to
the well
or the spring. That's a lot of water. And as she's doing that, the Andy is going, wow, she's doing well here. She's not. She's going to give them all a drink of water. Wow, she's got up to 50 buckets there. Well, that's pretty good going. Oh, no, she got 60, 70. She gives them the whole lot, 100 buckets of water. And as he's thinking that, he's thinking, this is kindness. This is generosity. This is what we want for Isaac. She resembles what God is like. So Andy introduces himself to Rebecca. And she gets excited because as they have a chit-chat, Andy realises that actually she's the granddaughter of Abraham's brother. Gets even better because she says, yeah, come home and meet the family. So Andy gets out some gifts, goes to meet the family. The camels get pampered. They have a good meal and they bring out even more gifts and it's all going well. But Andy has to say, actually, what I'm here for is I'm looking for a wife for my master's servant, for my servants, get it right. I'm looking for a wife for my master's son, Isaac. So he comes clean and says to them what he is about. And the family realise, actually, there's something going on here. Because Abraham was part of their family. He had passed through that part of Syria many years ago and gone to live in this promised land called Canaan. And he's done well. So they ask Rebecca, what do you want to do? Are you happy? And they say, yes. And she is happy. She says, I will go. I will go and meet this guy called Isaac. Sounds a good guy. Sounds like they've got a good life going. So she agrees to go. But before they go, they say to her brother and her mother, our sister, let's get this up, says this, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. It's another way of saying, may your offspring be a successful people. Now, all this sounds very fast and furious, but throughout the story, we constantly see God's guiding hand leading the process. This is not man's planning, but God providing an act of kindness in the provision of a bride for Isaac. But it's more than that. It's all about the promise that he had given to Abraham, that he was going to bless the earth. We see in the story the swearing of an oath before God. The acknowledgement that God will guide, a reminder of God's promise. And the servant that we called Andy, he prayed for God to make things happen. And he thanked for God for leading him to Abraham's relatives. In other words, all this was God at work. This was not some chance meeting in Syria. So the boss servant, Andy, he arrives back in Canaan with Rebecca and the 10 camels. And out in the fields is this gorgeous hunk of a man. And Rebecca says to Andy, the servant, "Who is he? Wow." He's obviously very impressed by the local manhood. And she is told, "This is Isaac. Wow." And she said, we're told that she covered herself with a veil, which is another way of saying, he's the guy for me. It's what some of us might call love at first sight. And she consents to marry him, and Isaac kindly lends his deceased mother's pad for her to stay in. For Isaac, at last, somebody to love, somebody to comfort him as he misses his mum. But maybe all this stuff promised to Abraham and about all these offsprings may happen. It may mean something, because he can see the God that's at work in these circumstances. Now, we may want to slow down here, because names are important in the Bible. And in verse 62, we see that Isaac was at a place called Beer Lahoy Loy. Now, we're right up there because my pronunciation may be poor. Beer Lahoy Loy. And sounds like something we may buy at a bar. But this is a very special place. It's not a random place. And this was where Isaac was staying. And it's a place where God had met the marginalized, the weak, and the wrong. A few weeks ago, we read about Hagar, who ran away distraught from Abraham's wife who had mistreated her. She was pregnant with a son called Ishmael. And she ran away distraught, and at this place, an angel met her and reassured her and rescued her. And she was told to go back to Abraham's family. And that place was called Beer Lahi Eloi. And it translates as the place of him who sees me. The place of him who sees me. In other words, it's a place of hope and comfort. And as Rebecca arrives in Canaan with Andy and the 10 camels, she sees Isaac at the place of hope. Life becomes meaningful. This is where God provides hope in a barren place. He has given hope like the name of the place they are at. Hope that indeed God is at work. Hope that God does have a purpose for them. Hope that in this amazing plan that God has for Abraham, God will bring it about. Hope that in the chaotic world of Genesis and the sinful world they live in, God is at work bringing a brighter future, promising us that he will send a saviour. Life feels good for Isaac and Rebecca. He's not going to waste away. His life is not worth nothing. And they are getting to know God and getting to know that he is worthwhile. And the story continues. Isaac and Rebecca marry. And guess where they go to live? Yes, they go to live in that place, Beer Lahoy Loy, because they have a place of hope and comfort. And they have a family, and they have two boys, Esau and Jabin. We can read about them later on in Genesis. They're always fighting with each other. But God had a plan, and this was moving forward. The saviour of the world, promised through Abraham, was coming through Isaac. Now, what is all this drawn-out story about? It's a long reading, and we didn't read all of it. Was it just about Isaac and Rebecca having a blind date? But the story shows us something of the gospel, and how we should respond to God, and how God works to bring about his purposes. The passage tells us something about how we should respond to God, and especially when we may feel that God's not really interested in us. It helps if we can see that actually God is bothered about us. God is at work in what seems to be random things that go on around us. Chaotic things that go on in our life. God is at work. And the passage sets out that for us. And it's a theme that crops up throughout the Bible, culminating in the book of Revelation, where we are reunited, where Christians are reunited with God again. Now, a few weeks ago, we had a look at a verse that the children had looked at in Holiday Club, and Chris read it to us. It's a familiar verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'm afraid I didn't do the actions to go with that. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And it sets out three things for us. God loves the world. He loved the world so much he made promises to Abraham that through his descendants, Jesus would come. And in Matthew's gospel, he sets all this out, all the descendants from Abraham all the way down through history, through Jesus, the Saviour. The book of Genesis sets out the heart and the gospel of God. It was out of love and kindness that God had made the world. He'd made it well. We're going to have relationships with God. We're going to walk and talk with him. And as we heard in previous weeks, it all went wrong because we turned against God. But God made promises to Abraham and his descendants. He was going to provide a saviour, somebody who would bless the world. And Jesus was a descendant of Abraham. So when God was promising that he would bless the world through Abraham, it's not that we will be having an unending economic prosperity. It was not we end up having endless holidays. It was not that we end up having a nice family life with no problems and ultimate self-fulfillment. What God was offering and telling us, I am going to send you a saviour to bring you back into friendship with God. That is the gospel that was given to Abraham and is given to us through the Bible. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to be our saviour. And everyone is invited to believe in him. So how should we believe in him? And here we see two very different people believing and changing. The servant Andy, as we called him, trusted, turned to God with this task that he'd been given. He wasn't sure if it was actually going to work, because he did actually say to Abraham, what happens if this girl, if I find somebody, a girl for Isaac, and she doesn't actually want to come back with me? He wasn't sure that this plan was going to work. But he prayed throughout. He trusted God's kindness, and he involved God as he went through the story, as he met Rebecca and the family. The servant could have easily run off with the camels. They'd have a lot of watering to do, but, and there was loads of goodies on them. He could have made a nice life for himself. But he chose to be faithful to his master and to trust in God. Or perhaps you have been faced a difficult task like the servant did. If you do, perhaps you might model yourself on this servant who trusted in God and involved in God and all the activity and the difficulties that he faced. And Rebecca, well, perhaps she knew less about God than the servant, but she was quick to see that God was at work. She did not delay or hold back, but simply said, I will go with this guy. I will go and meet this Isaac. Didn't know who he was, but she could see that God was at work. She was impressed by what she saw and the gifts that were offered to her. But her response from her family was that God was at work. And so she travelled the 700 miles back to meet Isaac. Perhaps you've been given a task to do and you're saying, oh, I'm not sure about this. Rebecca was a good model for you. She went. She said, I will go. And for us, God presents his love to us through Jesus. We are invited to believe in him. If you haven't done that, how about responding like the servant did, and like Rebecca did, trusting in them and going? They trusted in God, as God invites us to believe in Jesus. But why would we do that? It's not always easy to be a Christian. But the third part of this verse from John 3:16 is that we have hope of eternal life. That's what God promises, eternal life, not perishing. If we continue in our way, we will perish. If we turn to God, we have eternal life. And that's what it was like in the time of Abraham. The world was chaotic, it was perishing. And God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to bless the world through you. I'm going to send the Savior Jesus to turn this world around, to offer something better, to offer you friendship again with me. Hope was offered to Isaac through the gift of Rebekah. For him, life took on a new meaning and the realization that God was at work. I wonder what you imagine eternal life to be. Well, the picture of Isaac helps us because he entered into a new life as he married Rebecca. He found a place of security and hope. He saw her and loved her and gave her a place of honor. He himself was comforted by Rebecca as he grieved the loss of his mum. It's a great picture of marriage. And the Bible talks about eternal life as being a bit like marriage. It talks about marriage being believers and Jesus himself. And this is set out in Revelation 21, the last book of the Bible, virtually the last chapter. It's a picture of our hope and security of being friends with God. That is a better picture of eternal life than perhaps people floating around on clouds with harps. The renewal of Isaac and the hope he has is a picture of God's goodness to those who believe in him. The story of Abraham, the story of Abraham's servant finding Rebekah for Isaac, is not just an Old Testament blind date arrangement. It's a wonderful invitation for us to similarly believe in God, to believe in God's offer and to receive eternal life. They believed, even though they had good reason to think God was not interested in them, but he was. And similarly, God has purposes for you and me to be part of his kingdom and to serve him forever. John 3:16 gives us that invitation. Lord God, we thank you for this story of how you provided a wife for Isaac, of how you helped that servant, and how you continue to bring about your promises of a Saviour that you had made to Abraham. And we thank you that you continue to offer that gift to us, the gift of a Saviour, inviting us to believe in him and to have eternal life. Each day, help us to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.